Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
550 people watching, but yep, only 217 have bothered to smash the like button.
What is wrong with these people?
How hard is it?
Maybe they don't like the show.
Maybe. But nobody's smashing the dislike button. Mm.
Smash the like button. Oh, yeah, because there is a thumbs down button.
There is.
Yeah. Cool, man. Awesome. Great.
We need to have a better like to viewer ratio.
Yeah.
Stalker does not. I mean, we're operating basically, this is like a tariff where we're being tariffed at 500%, but we only have a 250 return reciprical tariff.
Right.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Just go over there to hit the like button. What is wrong with you? Come on. Are we not giving you entertainment?
I know.
We're going to be on the air for 5 hours today.
Yeah. Five?
For God's sake.
Yeah. Dom's coming in. Dom time. 10:15. We'll be chatting. They call it a crossover in the industry.
Well, how long does the crossover go?
We might be going longer than that. I hate to tell you, Kel. We have a lot to get to. All right, let's get to it, shall we? What did I say? Oh yeah, let's the protests. So there was something I forgot to play here in Delaware. Sarah McBride.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that dude.
Back to the podium and gave a speech. So if you want to go, I mean, do we not give you entertainment? Smash that like button.
Yes, please.
Roll the Delaware senator.
Because while we know that Donald Trump thinks that he can place his hands anywhere.
Oh boy. All right, hang on. imagine going for it.
And then you realize
you get a handful of
sausage
or something else.
Yeah. You think you're going to grab something flat?
Yeah.
No. You don't need to describe.
Yeah.
Nathan's hot dog.
Come on. Yeah. All right.
Nice kosher dog down there.
Restart it.
And we are here today.
I'll be frank.
Because while we know that Donald Trump thinks that he can place his hands anywhere. We're telling him, hell no, hands off our Social Security, hands off our Medicaid, hands off Medicare, hands off SNAP, hands off our kids, hands off women's rights, hands off LGBTQ rights. We are here because we know our lives and the lives of our neighbors are worth fighting for. We know that our future is worth fighting for.
You know, it's actually hard to believe now. We are 5 months removed from the election. Think about that. November 6th, we came in, we talked about it. Donald Trump defeats Kamala Harris. December, January, February, March, April. We are now 5 months in. And if you were to ask the rhetorical question that we've asked many times and multiple questions, what did the Democrats learn? Are the Democrats going to change? Are they going to abandon the left-wing progressive woke nonsense and slide further back to the right towards center? Right now, it's just the same thing over and over, which is resist, resist, resist. Yeah, You're not seeing any change.
They seem to be going more left.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is odd. I mean, if you want to look at Lancaster, if you want to look at Wisconsin, you could sit there and say, okay, Democrats and liberals have had some victories. But as we move forward to things where some reason Republicans will come back out of the woodwork and vote again and get off of the 5 month victory lap, the tour of celebrating a Trump victory. Because at the end of the day, remember, folks, Trump's not going to be around forever.
No.
I know there's the possibility of a
third
term.
There's no third term.
He's not going to do it.
No.
Right. So you're going to have to move on. And you're going to allow this party, this iteration of the party, to get back up off of the mat after Trump threw a haymaker? I mean, it's the 10th round. Democrats are lying in a, their mouthpiece has been knocked out. They're busted up. They're bloody. And you're going to allow people like Sarah, what's the name? Sarah who?
Sarah McBride.
Sarah McBride, Turk McBride, Dan McBride, whatever
McBride.
Bake McBride. You're going to allow that party of left-wing 10% progressives to beat you? I can't imagine that's the case.
That's a scary thought.
But then again, I told you the 2022 red wave wouldn't materialize, and I was right. So you better get activated. You better start being aware. Look, the only way I think the left-wing faction of the Democrat Party can win big time, and I mean, when we get to the midterms, when we look at how many different governor races are open, how many different Senate seats, how many different House positions, things like that, the only way that they're going to win a majority, if you were to sit there and look at it in totality, is if tariffs tank the economy and we have raging inflation.
Mm.
If Trump nails the tariffs, I think it's advantage Republicans a year and 4 months from now.
Yeah. The only thing that the Democrats talked about for the last 6 months of the election was just women's rights and abortion and trying to paint these like really gruesome, disturbing visuals of your daughter's lying on the bed, bleeding out, and the doctors won't touch her. That was all that they had.
That's what Kamala did.
And they lost.
Right.
I remember Michelle Obama painting this like horrific picture, mm-hmm. and even I was like, oh, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm you know, not an empty vessel, so I was able to think for myself. But
to which I mean, when I said I didn't make a prediction on the election on the air, it's because I didn't know how things would play out post Roe v. Wade with Trump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With what you're talking about right there, Anna, the painting this horrific picture. I thought if Trump lost, which he didn't.
That's
but
why.
If he did, I thought it would be Roe v. Wade would be the undoing.
Yeah.
That was not the case.
Right.
But you look at it 5 months later now, it's the same thing. It's just resist, resist, resist. And you're talking about all these different, like we talked about earlier, what rights has he taken away from you? Right?
Right.
You can't name one. And these people are just, they're just defiant. And that's fine. If they keep losing, I never want them to change.
Well, right. But here's the thing that annoys me about the other side, our side, quote unquote, is every time I turn on like the Five, okay, it's a show I watch once or twice a week.
Yeah, same.
They're always going through trying to fix the Democratic Party and talking about what they need to do to get better. I'm like, why are you trying to fix
giving
them?
Advice.
You got to bury them.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Right. Well, I think it's somewhat the devil's advocate of this is what you have to do to be more relevant in these big-time elections. But to your point, yeah, let Jessica Tarlov figure it out.
Yeah, let them figure it out.
Isn't that like the Democratic play, though, is just like throw money at bad things and just watch them get worse and just say we need more to turn around?
We need to
fix it. It's the same with this. It's like, yeah, they're becoming more progressive. And obviously the people are saying this isn't working, but they just keep doing more of the same.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One more from the union or from the protests over the weekend. By the way, if you missed it, if you're just tuning in now, you're one of those late risers. First of all, get a job. we went through all of it from like 7:45 to 8:00. So just go back in the rewind or on the YouTube and just rewind it. But this
we start at 6 a.m.
Thank you, Phil. This is the Democratic teacher union boss, not Randy Weingarten. This is somebody else. This is Becky Pringle.
Oh yeah. She's the one that was shouting, "We're going to win all the things."
All the things.
All
yes.
the things.
Keep your hands off our schools. Right. Roll it.
Schools, keep your hands off our race, and we will stop. We the people will stop because our children, our babies, are depending on us.
It's the same speech. Thank you, Randy. What really pisses me off is that we have pumped trillions upon trillions of dollars into our education department and progressively have gotten worse. From 1979 to 2025, 46 years. I don't know where we were when Jimmy Carter created it with an executive order in 79, but we were pretty far up the rankings, right?
I was in the ninth grade.
You were in the ninth grade,
yes.
Excelling. You had a 4.0 GPA.
Exactly.
You were on par with reading and mathematics and science and civics and social studies. Harry Mays, Berks County School District product.
I crushed the math portion
you
of the SAT.
It. 1310 nice. On his SATs. And here we are now. We're 40th globally. Yeah.
Our babies are pretending they're pounding on us.
Thank you.
Microphone stalker checking in.
Ow.
This would be, for those that are sports fans out there, this would be the equivalent of an owner saying, you know what, I'm going to spend like the Dodgers do, $300-400 million a year in payroll, and we're going to go 68-91. We're going to have a terrible record. Yet when you look at it, you find, like, who's the team? It's the Anna, your team. The Tampa Bay Rays. You live in the Tampa St. Pete area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, your team.
Go Rays.
Yeah.
Go Rays. Sports.
Yeah. They spend about the equivalent of Bryce Harper's salary on their entire team with their payroll, and they're always playing in October in the playoffs, right? So, and by the way, kudos to Linda McMahon for taking the position, because it will be defined as a success if she's out of a job.
Right.
Think about that. Secretary of Education. President Trump said, I have to be out of a job for it to be successful. Mm. Most of us need to keep our job to be deemed successful.
Cut to here. Mark Cuban was on Stephen A. Smith's show over the weekend, and he said that on the subject of biological men and women's sports, he thinks that the opponents should decide whether they want to play against them or not. And I want to get your takes on this. Roll Cuban.
The whole sports, trans sports issue, you know, it's like the old Willie Horton thing. My attitude is, if there's a trans athlete, no matter what side, you let the opponent, whether it's an individual sport or a team sport, you let them decide if they wanted to compete against them or not. If they feel they can win, if they feel it's not fair, it's up to them. But to make it just a national issue, so that if you weren't supporting the fewer than 10 trans athletes in the NCAA, then, you know, you weren't a good person. People aren't ready for that yet. And you've got to meet people where they are. We've taken this country so far in race relationships, attitudes towards LGBTQ. It takes time. You can't just force it down people's throat. And instead of trying to get it where the people who are being disadvantaged and being discriminated against are helped, they wanted to make it a campaign issue. Focus on helping the people, not using them to campaign.
So Mark Cuban doesn't think that Trump or anybody should get involved and say that men should not be allowed to compete in women's sports, which is, you know, one of the things, we have a thing called Title IX. It's kind of an important piece of legislation or a document, call it what you will. So he's saying, Anna, leave it up to every individual as to whether or not they want to compete against the dude. So, all right, Anna Hummel, I'll leave it up to you. Do you want to compete against men in women's sports?
No, and I don't understand. What are they going to take, like a voting poll with a bunch of seventh graders? Hey, you guys want to play this dude?
Yeah.
I don't. Every time that there's a tournament or some sort of track meet or something like that, it's absolutely ridiculous. And of course, there's going to be pressure put on them by the society or other parents or whomever that they might vote against their own best interest. I think that's ridiculous. You got to draw a line in the sand. You go, if you got a why, you're out.
Yeah,
right.
You're
That's
out.
Right. Well, Nick, you've got two young daughters. I don't have any kids. So I don't really have a dog in this.
Right. Well, you're smart.
Show.
So, I mean, my daughters, they dance. You know, like that?
Right.
Yeah. So they've competed against some dudes. I'm not versed enough in dance to know if there's really, I kind of feel like my daughters have the advantage, right?
I that's
speak
dance.
To this.
Right.
Well, my mom owned a dance studio.
Okay.
I danced for like 15 years.
Right. Like,
it's not like a competitive, it's not like you're some sort of martial art dancing.
No,
it's
right.
Just like, whose performance is better?
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
I think in things like that, there doesn't need to be like a different.
And by the way, when the boy comes out on the dance stage during these competitions, brings the house down.
Kill.
Is that right?
You get
because there's only like five of them, so you got to really celebrate them so they stick around.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You get a little 9-year-old boy doing dancing to Justin Timberlake, the whole place goes
really.
But no, you're right. I don't really think there's an inherent advantage. I mean, I'm unflexible, so I feel like my daughters have the advantage over these boys, even though some of these boys can do things with their body that if I did, I'd end up in a hospital for a torn ligament
or something. You'd be in traction.
Correct. But, like, even in swimming, we saw with Riley Gaines, yeah, granted it wasn't hand-to-hand combat, where it wasn't like basketball or, you know, the fencing story that we talked about last week.
I don't know how you win fencing. I was going to ask that. That's a good question. I don't know how, like, you win this sport, but...
Right. Like, okay. Do you really stab somebody? Like,
I don't...
Yes, Nick. It's a fight to the death.
Yeah, I'll look that up.
They're not
I'll find
real
out.
Swords.
How thick is that padding on the chest?
It's not a real sword.
I'm a little concerned about it. Something could go wrong.
Well, you could poke your eye out.
That's what I'm saying.
But they wear masks. That's why they wear the masks.
Just so you don't poke your eye out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Linda McMahon announced over the weekend that they're starting a Title IX special investigation team. Roll this.
Today, the Department of Education, alongside the Department of Justice, is proud to announce the creation of the Title IX Special Investigations Team, consisting of attorneys and investigators from both of our agencies to adjudicate our ever-increasing volume of Title IX investigations. We have received a staggering number of complaints about men competing in women's sports and invading women-only intimate spaces. That's why we're partnering with Attorney General Bondi's team to move even faster in order to protect women and girls. The establishment of this team will benefit women and girls across this nation who have been subjected to discrimination and indignity in their educational activities. To all entities receiving federal funding who continue to allow these illegal practices, we will not permit you to trample on women's rights any longer.
There she is, Linda McMahon, also to follow up with these failure to adhere to Trump's executive orders on the school front. Trump also has now sent a list of demands to Harvard University, and if it doesn't comply, they're going to lose $9 billion in federal funding. This is on the DEI front, as well as the anti-Semitic violence and harassment. So,
wow.
I mean... He's not playing when it comes. I mean, he's already was it 107? I think locally here at Penn, it was $175 million, and now he's going to go even harder on Harvard, which apparently wants to play hardball.
Yeah, and by the way, Linda McMahon, another example of someone that doesn't have to be doing this.
True,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Was she pulled out of retirement or something like that? I feel like she's just kind of doing Trump.
She had bajillions of dollars when
from the WWE.
Yeah, when
that's Vince McMahon's.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Okay, just real quick, going back with fencing, just in case anybody else was curious, because I was. In fencing, you win by scoring 15 valid touches points on your opponent before they score 15 touches on you.
Oh,
there you go.
That's how you win.
Okay,
sports.
Or as Chris Eppolito says, a successful fencing match is when you just put the tip in, Nick.
Oh, nice.
Well, keep yourself out of trouble that way.
Transgender activist chastised Dr. Phil on his podcast, accuses him of drinking the Kool-Aid after he provided proof that men are in fact stronger than women.
Okay.
Roll this.
When you look at the science and...
By the way, can I just say this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cannot stand Dr. Phil. Yeah. He's the biggest weaselly, like, he's like a snake oil salesman.
Yes,
he is.
However, he's correct on this.
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to give that.
There you go.
If you look at the science, the male advantage over females, there are functional differences between biological men and biological women. Men have 57% better grip strength. They have 54% better quad strength. They have 89% more bicep strength. Mm. They have 90% more upper body strength. They have 33% higher vertical jumps. They have 162% more punching power. If you get into specific sports activities in terms of running and swimming events, in running, they tend to be 12% faster overall. When you translate this into races, if you have a 12% difference between overall trans athletes, here are some examples to demonstrate the male sports performance advantage over a woman. A man would finish a 3,000-meter track race about a minute faster. A 100-meter swim, a man would be about 5.7 seconds faster. A 200-meter swim, about 11.5 seconds faster. A 800-meter swim, a minute faster. So when you look at those things, these are races that are usually determined by tenths or hundredths of a second. So how do you answer that, Blossom?
Absolutely. Respectfully, Dr. Phil, I'm going to need you to have several seats. Let's be clear. Trans women, again, are women. What you're showing me are male statistics, and trans women are not males. Everything that I said can actually be proven. It's scientifically proven. Because, again, it's almost like you're trying to call trans women men, and that is not what trans women are. Trans women work just as hard as cis women to compete. And when we talk about bone density levels, again, there are some women who are stronger and have faster agility than trans women. It is a case-by-case basis. I don't know why you're trying to group a group of trans people into one ideology. That is false.
There you go.
So, Anna Hummel, would you consider yourself a cis woman? And what is your bone density?
Oh, my bones are made out of cheese. It's actually really bad. I got a DEXA scan a few years ago. I needed to start taking calcium and did, and then I ran out and just forgot. But
so Dr. Phil basically gives all the stats, all the data, and then she gets emotional.
Yeah, yeah. And Greg, I know you said you don't like Dr. Phil all that much, but do you know who Adam Ray is? Because he does a phenomenal... Are you familiar?
No.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys watch Kill Tony, but he's on Kill Tony as Dr. Phil, and it's hilarious. So I encourage you to check that out.
I'll probably want to kill Tony tomorrow right around this time.
Exactly. I spent many years wanting to kill Tony.
Yeah, it's great. But whatever. These people just don't operate on planet Earth, and I feel like they hate women. For some reason, like, they have this vendetta against women that they need to, like, come into our spaces and kick our asses. And he's, to Blossom's point, he's kind of right in some degree where trans women aren't men because they actually become worse performing athletes when they take these hormones, and they still kick women's butts.
Right.
That's the discrepancy we're dealing with men and women. And the fact that people are getting upset by facts is just, you know, there's nothing you can say to convince them.
No.
If you are a common sense person, you defend females from trans men or trans females or trans women, whatever you want to call them, a dude trying to come off as a woman, because it's been since the beginning of time, since we've had competition, we created this separation of men and women's sports. And then there was Title IX. And then when you say there's no inherent advantage, well, then explain to me why almost 99% of the time it's a guy coming into women's sports where the guy was not good as a male athlete, was mediocre at best, and that's probably being generous, comes into female sports and looks like an all-star.
Right.
But I don't see biological females that are transitioning to men, which we do see that, but they're not going into men's sports. Have you heard
of... I don't know that they
are. I've heard of one, like, high school wrestler and just got demolished.
You got demolished.
Cool. Sure. All right, whatever.
Like, when's this story going to come out from 6ABC in Philly of a girl that now identifies as a man who ran for 1,300 yards this fall in high school football Central Bucks West? I'm still waiting for that story to happen.
It's
coming. Why will it not happen? Because females can't do that. It's not sexist. It's science. It's biology.
I have more, but we need to take another break.
All right. Kale and Company, as we continue, Nick, Anna, Harry, and Greg, here on Talk Radio 1210 WPA.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Father from Maryland who was deported. You know, there's this big back and forth about, was this guy a gang member? Was he a just a barber,
loving father?
A loving father, barber.
Did he have legal status to be here?
Yes. Was he part of this gang? There's a lot of differing opinions on this. Let's start here with Cut 28, Phil, if you will. Roll this.
The American people should know who this individual is. He's not some Maryland father, as the mainstream media will make you believe. He's actually a member of MS-13 and was involved in human trafficking. It's unbelievable, cool, the framing of this. Whether this man is in El Salvador or in a U.S. detention center, he should be locked up. And people should also know who MS-13 is. It is a gang that rapes, maims, and kills Americans for sport. They should not be on U.S. soil, and any media outlet who tries to make him a darling or a victim should really be ashamed, because the American people do know better.
Yeah, they do know better, but they're in their feelings. And I've got this story in front of me from NBC where the federal judge is ordering the return of the man that the Trump administration, quote, accidentally sent to the notorious El Salvador prison. But to me, this comes down to two things. Are you here legally or illegally?
Yep.
And are you a member of MS-13? If you check yes to either one of those, then you should be gone. The fact that we have not only Democrat politicians, but Democrat voters advocating for the return of a menace to society,
right,
just goes to show you how insane these people are.
It's because who's doing it.
Right. Yep.
That's it.
Well, okay. Do you want that person in your neighborhood?
No.
I just picked you up this morning for work. Do you want that person to live three doors down from you? Okay. Three doors down.
I don't want the people that reference live three doors down for me to live
either.
Three doors down.
And they are legal and not MS-13 members. Anna, do you want these people in your neighborhood?
Well, obviously not. But the problem with the Democrats usually is it's rules for thee and not for me.
Right.
I mean, we all remember Nancy Pelosi shutting down California, but she was getting her hair did.
Right.
Please don't bother me with such frivolity, okay?
Okay. Yeah. Gavin Newsom shut down the whole state, but he was
French Laundry.
He was at
a fancy restaurant.
Yeah, not masked, not social distancing, but everybody else had to be home and separated from their loved ones.
Yeah. I just want to say to the Democrat politicians out there, you flooded the border for 4 years. Seven swing states populated by 200 to 300 to 400 to 700% increase in illegal immigrants. Why? Because the end goal, I believe, is to get more voters.
Exactly.
Right? So can you do without just one MS-13 member? I know he's a family man.
Got to collect them all. Sorry.
Right. All I want to know from that judge who ordered this person returned to the United States is that, okay, you want him returned. Like you asked Harry and Anna, would you want this person living in your neighborhood? And if the answer is yes, then sure, bring him back.
Right.
If the answer is no, then keep him there.
Yes. I mean, these are vile, evil people. The MS-13, Trende Aragua, these aren't your local neighborhood gangs.
They're vicious.
They are savages.
Yeah.
I mean, they're no different than legitimate Middle East terrorists.
Yeah, yeah.
They will maim you.
Trump was asked about the El Salvador president taking our, not president, whatever they call him over there,
Bukele,
is taking Americans to their prisons. I like that. Some hardened criminals. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Roll this, 37.
See what happens. You got to El Salvador. The president there said he would be willing to take American citizens in the federal prison population. Is that one of the ideas they're going to be discussing?
Well, I love that. If we could take some of our 20-time wise guys that push people into subways and that hit people over the back of the head and that purposely run people over in cars, if he would take them, I'd be honored to give them. I don't know what the law says on that, but I can't imagine the law would say anything different. If they can house these horrible criminals for a lot less money than it costs us, I'm all for it, but I'd only do according to the law. But I have suggested that, you know, why should it stop just at people that cross the border illegally? We have some horrible criminals, American grown and born, and if we have somebody that bops an old woman over the head, if we have somebody that is in jail 20 times and goes back and shoots people all over the place and then has a bad judge or a bad prosecutor that do nothing about him, all they worry about is politics, they don't worry about that. I think if we could get El Salvador or somebody, but to take them, I'd be very happy with it, but I have to see what the law says. Okay, what else?
Okay, what else? What else can I answer?
I love watching turbulence in real time.
Do you guys remember back in the day, I think this was, correct me if I'm wrong, the 80s, might have been early 90s, but I think it was 80s. Remember the scared straight mantra?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we should do that here in America. If you've been one of these career criminals that are fortunate to somehow be on the street after 25 different arrests, and you got some left-wing progressive Alvin Bragg prosecutor that lets you back out on the street 13 hours later with no cash bail, we should send you to El Salvador and let you sit in the joint there.
Right.
I mean, have you seen the videos?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're literally sitting on top of each
right.
other. It's almost borderline inhumane.
It's like they're animals.
Right.
It really is.
And then we got, in America, we have Sam Bankman-Fried complaining that he can't get a vegan kosher meal in the can.
Right.
Really?
While he's hanging out with Diddy.
Yeah. I mean, American prisons compared to El Salvador is like a night at the Ritz-Carlton.
Mm-hmm. Boy, criminals are really coming up with new interesting ways to kill their victims. This happened in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn over the weekend. The attacker went after four girls ages 8, 11, 13, and 16 with a meat cleaver.
Oh,
I saw this yesterday. This is disgusting.
This is horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Roll this.
For an assault in progress. The 11-year-old caller stated that she and her siblings had been stabbed by her uncle. She did not know her address. Quick-thinking police communications technicians at the 911 call center use the technology at their disposal to get an address from the location of the phone that the child was using. Based on that information, officers responded to 1671 84th Street in the confines of the 6-2 precinct. When officers and EMS arrived, they were let into the first floor by an uninjured child and led into a small vestibule facing two more doors. At that point, they heard screams coming from behind the door to their left and
cleaver
immediately
violence.
Began forcing their way into the apartment, kicking down the door. Once they entered, they encountered a man standing near the entrance holding a large meat cleaver covered in blood.
Wow. Man.
And they could see blood on the floor
and
the walls
movie.
Of the home. The officers ordered the man to drop the weapon several times. He refused and advanced towards them. Two officers discharged their firearms, firing seven total rounds between them
Good.
And striking the subject, ending the threat.
Amen. But wow. By the way, Phil has a photo of the, do you have the, with the bloody, yeah, there's,
oh!
The,
oh,
there's
my.
The meat cleaver. Look at that thing.
Yeah.
How do you recover from that, like, emotionally?
I know.
No idea.
Just have nightmares
yeah.
forever.
YouTube.com/at1210 Jeez. WPHE, and there's one of the victims.
Jesus
oh,
Christ.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Look at that.
I mean,
my
that
God.
That girl, ugh. She's cut. I mean, that you're right. It looks like a horror movie.
It mm-hmm. does. It does. Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. YouTube.com/at1210 WPHD if you want to see this video.
Do we know if the officers firing at the perp killed him?
No, I don't think it did.
No.
I think it was life threatening or.
They said ending the threat.
Yes.
Seven times shot him and he didn't die?
Yeah. It's amazing.
I would have made sure the eighth one killed him.
Yeah.
Can we go to, we have to break again here, but before we break here, can we talk about Harry's favorite subject, hockey, for a second?
Oh, Harry loves hockey.
Alex Ovechkin over the weekend surpassed Wayne Gretzky for all-time NHL goals,
mm-hmm.
scoring 895 career goals. This is amazing.
It's amazing.
There's a political tie-in to this, because roll this on, roll cut nine here, Phil. Wayne Gretzky was at the Chicago Blackhawks Capitals game
yep.
in D.C. with Cash Patel.
Ah, roll yes. This. Gretzky's a Trump guy.
Yeah, look at that. Cash Patel hanging out with Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. That's the day that Ovechkin tied Gretzky's record, and then cut 10 here. This is when he actually surpassed it against the Islanders.
He's just trying to find a seam, and all that, hey, I'm going to try to force it to him if he's open. Here is Ovechkin. Shoot! He scores!
Wow.
Is that Kenny Albert on the call?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then Wayne Gretzky, by the way, because he was there, he said that Gordie Howe was there when he surpassed his record, so mm-hmm. he wanted to be there when
very cool
Ovechkin did his.
And well, and Cash Patel wanted to be there because he's got the Epstein files wrapped up. And
well, yeah,
JFK, so he's got nothing else to do.
He plays hockey, Cash Patel.
Oh, he
does
he?
Yes.
Oh, huh.
Yes. He's a big hockey guy. Oh. Yeah,
Cash Patel against Jason Mertidis in a 40-over.
There you go.
There you go.
Wayne Gretzky then took to the ice and gave a little speech. Let me just play a little bit.
To celebrate this guy here, number 8. I can tell you firsthand, I know how hard it is to get to 894. 895 is pretty special. My congratulations to not only Alex, his mom and dad, his family, his wife and kids. When I broke the record, my two kids were about the age of his boys, so it's kind of reminiscent for me, and I'm so happy that two of my boys are here tonight. But there's nothing better than the National Hockey League.
All right, there you go.
Wow.
So I just looked it up. Gretzky played 20 years in the NHL. Trying to figure out if Ovechkin stuck around longer than that to pass that. I'm always one of these guys that I feel like I always say the original GOAT is the GOAT.
Oh,
like I feel like Gretzky's the all-time great. Jordan's the all-time great. But I'll go Brady over Montana. I'm going to see Alex Ovechkin years in NHL. Let's see if it's more. He's 39 years old, and he's played. So they both played 20 years.
Okay.
So it's a reciprocal 10% tariff.
By the way, Phil Almquist, who's an Islanders fan, sent me a text that says, fun fact, Gretzky, 894, Ovechkin, 895, both versus the Islanders.
Wow.
Interesting.
Boy, Phil Almquist takes a lot of abuse.
I'll tell you what.
As a Jets fan and an Islanders fan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll come back. We'll get to all the bells and whistles here on a Monday. Jimmy Kelly's Morning Mystery Movie Clip for a prize. What occurred today in music history, courtesy of Phil Almquist. And then it'll be Dom time, as we'll chat with Dom in a little bit after Anna's News.
Yeah, Anna's News.
Yes, Anna's News coming up top of the hour. And we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app. And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
How come that safe looks like books?
How come you asked so many questions?
I've only been around for 5 years. There's a lot of stuff I don't know.
The safe looks like books, so that if a thief does come in, he won't recognize it.
The thief, the robber?
Yes.
Have you ever had a robber here?
No.
What's the combination to your lock?
Ha! You're the last person in the world I tell that to.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
And today, you will get a pair of Fandango movie codes to see The Amateur from 20th Century Studios, rated R, only in theaters and IMAX this Friday. April 11th, The Amateur is an all-new espionage thriller from 20th Century Studios starring Oscar winner Rami Malek of Bohemian Rhapsody and Academy Award nominee Lawrence Fishburne of What's Love Got to Do With It. Opens in theaters nationwide April 11th, 2025. Caller 12 right now, 855-839-1210. And those movie passes are yours. All right, Phil Almquist, what occurred today in music history?
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today
Today, April 7th, we celebrate the birthday of John Oates from Hall & Oates, who's 77. Heavenly birthday shouts to Bruce Gary from The Knack. Singles include Bring Me the Light by Evanescence in 2003, Roxanne by The Police in 78, and Here Comes My Girl by Tom Petty in 80. Albums include Whitesnake's self-titled album in the U.S. in 87, and Turbo by Judas Priest in 86. Also in 94, Courtney Love was arrested on drugs and theft charges after a reported overdose, unaware her husband Kurt Cobain was dead at home. More on that tomorrow. In 85, Wham became the first Western pop group to perform live in China. In 2009, Rock of Ages opened on Broadway. In 2008, STP reunited for a 65-day tour that included a set in Camden. In 75, Ritchie Blackmore left Deep Purple to form Rainbow. In 56, the Rock and Roll Dance Party with Alan Freed premiered on CBS. And in 2017, Pearl Jam, Nile Rodgers, ELO, Journey, Joan Baez, Tupac, and Yes are all inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But lastly, on this day in 59, as the snow melts in Mason City, Iowa, Buddy Holly's glasses are found from the plane crash that killed him 2 months earlier. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Holmquist.
Unbelievable. He dazzles us every time, folks. Phil Holmquist with what occurred today in music history. All right, so a couple of things here as we continue. We're going to get to Anna's news at the top of the hour. I don't know if you guys saw this. Two things in entertainment, movies, and media. So Variety tweeted this out yesterday. Snow White, I'll give you an update on the box office disaster that is Snow White, earned $1.5 million. For Friday and Saturday, $1.5 million in your third weekend in theaters for Friday and Saturday, which, and I'm not a big movie buff as far as what days are the best to go, as far as when these box office movies, you know, draw their most. But I would assume Friday and Saturday night, kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. They drew $1.5 million for Friday and Saturday.
Wow.
The domestic gross now stands at $72 million total. And the film is in serious danger of not even hitting $100 million in North America, which would be considered, as Variety says here, a disastrous result for a $250 million Hollywood production. And that's before they start the promotional tour.
Wow.
Which estimates are that's another $200 to $250 million.
Yeah.
So they're in for about a half billion. And they might not even get to $100 million domestic.
Wow.
Isn't Daily Wire doing their own version of Snow White with Brett Cooper?
Are they? Are they really?
Are they?
Or maybe Brett Cooper just left Daily Wire, so maybe not. But I thought that was in the works, that they were kind of doing their own thing there.
Probably can't do any worse than what Rachel Zegler did at the box office.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
No. Okay. Let the lesson to be learned here. Don't chastise half of America if you're trying to sell a product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Whether you're a Republican, Democrat, left or right, if you're trying to market a movie, if you're trying to go into business and sell coffee, whatever it is, be welcoming to all customers, because as Michael Jordan once famously said, Republicans buy sneakers too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Must have been really awkward on set, because Rachel Zegler was definitely a free Palestine kind of gal, and her main co-star, Gal Gadot, is an Israeli.
Yeah. Wow.
Who was very outspoken about how she felt about the conflict as well.
So you saw the story play out on Instagram where they were going back and forth at each other?
No, like just online?
Yeah, because of her and her politics, the Nepo baby producer whose dad works at Disney, the dad, one of the big wigs, as Dawn says, for Disney, had to fly and leave a family function to sit down with her and say, why don't you dial it back? We've invested a lot of money in producing this movie, and you're kind of shooting us in the foot here.
Kinda.
Yeah.
And then she say no? She was just like, I'm going to say what I want?
Right. And she's like AOC in Disney. Yeah.
So that's a really good comparison.
Yep. There you go. Well, she looks just like
her. I was just going to say, I didn't realize that until right now.
They're like twins. All right. We have our morning mystery movie clip winner on the line. It is Santo in Florida.
What's up, Santo?
Santo.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening? Now, what movie did we just play for you?
Dennis the Menace, because I watched it a million times with my kids when they were younger.
There you go. Congratulations.
Lucky you.
Go ahead.
Santo, when's the next time you're coming up to this area? Am I going to see you in the Jersey Shore this weekend or this summer?
Uh,
I hope so, man. All take right. you out on the boat, baby.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Where in Florida are you?
Yeah, bring up Bruno and bring up Anna and swing by Nashville and pick up Sean Farish while you're at it.
We got to hang out with Bruno at the Ronald McDonald House. He and Robin.
Nice.
So, yeah, at the Storybook Ball. So it was a fun night.
Where in Florida are you, Santo?
We're at Bonita Springs over north of Naples.
That's right,
Naples
here, Bruno.
Fort Myers.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Right.
Well, congratulations, Santo. You got the movie passes.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, brother.
Santo from Florida.
That looks like a good movie. The previews are good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne and
Rami
Malek.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the remake that they're doing for Naked Gun?
No.
The preview looks really good, I got to tell you.
Do you think so?
I didn't think Liam Neeson could play this role, but I think I'm underestimating him.
We should play this on the other side. It does not look good, Kale.
Really?
No.
Well, I'm the king of bad movies, so my take should be expected.
Do we need to remake The Naked Gun? I mean, it was a fine movie. They had four or three movies. They probably could have stopped at one.
Right. The first two, I stopped after the second one.
There's at the very end is the funny joke, and that's it. I don't know.
Yes. And by the way, do you think the joke at the end is funny? I don't want to spoil.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a funny bit, but I don't know.
Right.
Is it enough to carry the movie?
Well, let's throw it. As somebody once said, we'll throw it out to the people when we come back. 855-839-1210. Kale and Company bonus edition.
Bonus hours
as we come back, and we'll get some news from Anna. We'll give you that trailer, and then we'll chat with Dom. Stay right there. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We're going to get to the trailer, the preview of this Naked Gun movie that we were talking about in just a moment. But first, let's get caught up with the world of news. Time for an Anna Hummel news for Kale and Company. I almost want to say Big 3, but I know it's not a Big 3.
Big 3 at 10:04.
Big 3 at 10:04.
That works.
Yeah.
All right. So the artist who painted the worst Trump portrait for the Colorado Capitol says 41-year career may be doomed after the president's criticism. The artist behind a portrait of Donald Trump in the Colorado Capitol says her career could be in tatters now that the president has besmirched it on social media. Sarah Boardman's painting of the president has hung in the Denver building for 6 years before Trump called it purposefully distorted and, quote, truly the worst on his Truth Social platform in January, prompting state lawmakers to yank it off the wall.
I thought I saw this
it's
months ago.
Bad.
Is this where he's like his cheeks are real puffy and fat?
Yeah.
I mean, he did lose some weight. Like, if you look at Trump 2015, Trump 2016, really the only thing that's changed is the fact that his face is not as chunky.
And the hair.
As it used to be.
Has gotten crazier.
And the hair.
And he's aging, you know.
So. Right.
He's also, I don't know if you guys noticed this, he's also letting the hair go au naturel. Like, it's a lot more gray and white than it used to be. And also, you're seeing, it doesn't look like it's balding, too. You know
what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He needs to stay away from the chopper, because every time he does that, the wind
major
just
comb over,
it.
Too, and the chopper.
I was just like, come on, man.
Yeah. Well, they only make hairspray so strong.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't even think hairspray could do anything with something like that, because it's still, it'll still, in a strong wind, it'll still lift it up, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just collectively together, a flap.
That's why he likes to wear the hat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, there's some people that can pull off a hat and some can't. Like Harry Mays right now.
Harry Mays just looks
naturally in that. Like, it's a natural look for you without a hat. Trump in a hat, with all due respect.
Uh-oh.
Not the look?
Not a good look.
No?
No, it's just the shape of people's heads.
Yeah.
Like, I can wear a hat, it looks normal.
So this artist is saying that he besmirched his livelihood or her livelihood?
Yeah, because he criticized it on Truth Social. He said, this is truly the worst, which is hilarious.
Well, it's art.
Now she's saying, now the artist's 41-year career, quote, is in danger of not recovering from the backlash.
So she might be donezo.
It's the best publicity for her.
Yeah, all the people that went to the rallies will buy her art.
Exactly.
Sure.
She'll
have a GoFundMe in no time.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, too, with hairspray.
Yeah.
Any dudes out there in this audience that still utilize hairspray?
I use gel.
I know you're a gel guy.
From time to time.
But I'm talking hairspray.
No, I've never.
Have you ever used hairspray? Did you use hairspray back in your high school days?
I might have used it maybe back in the early 80s or late 70s when I, you know, started to develop my hair.
Stalker, were you ever a hairspray guy, like going to Montana West on a Friday?
Because I did the, I spiked it for a long time. So with the spikes, you need to.
So you did use hairspray?
Yeah.
Okay. I used to go to Montana West.
Of course. A lot of people did.
Is that a big Stalker hangout?
It might have been.
No, I was more Crocodile Rock.
Oh, okay.
With all the rock chicks.
Yeah.
Rock Lobster.
Rock Lobster. There you go. What else we got, Anna?
Yes. I know we're talking about Trump losing weight, kind of in that same vein. Obese population in U.S. set to plummet at fastest rate in the world, thanks to boom in Ozempic.
Oh.
America's obesity rate could be set to plummet at one of the fastest rates in the world. The nation's obesity rate has already appeared to be dropping, the CDC says. Not that we believe anything they say anymore, but whatever. after it found late last year that the proportion of American adults who are obese dropped from 42% to 40.3% over the last 3 years. That's equivalent to 4.1 million people reversing their obesity, which
so
is a win.
We're making America healthy again, but not really. Right? Like we're seeing obesity decline because of a pharmaceutical drug.
Right.
That by the time 2034 rolls around, people are going to be like...
Might cause cancer or something.
Right, yeah.
Sure. Well, pick your poison.
Yeah.
I say get the fat off.
Well, it's not like they're not eating cheeseburgers anymore and pizza, though. I think that's your point, right? It's like they're just losing the weight because they're injecting themselves,
well, and even
not really changing their habits.
Even our big boss here, David Yagaroff, is on some variation of that, and he was telling me the moment he gets off of it, he's going to put the weight back on.
Oh,
is that
totally.
Right?
Yes.
So, like, this is... Unless you really then get into the gym and he's on it because his knees are bad and he can't run anymore. But, you know, these people that get off of it, if they start going back to eating again and not working out, they're just going to... They're going to relapse.
Mm.
They're going to put it all right back on.
Yes.
There's no shortcut for success other than hard work. Like, you can't beat hard work.
You can't just take a pill and expect it to go away.
Like, all these people... Were you one of these... I remember this was a thing in, like, the 90s and 2000s. Were you a hydroxy-cut person when you tried to shed a little weight? I remember everybody would go to GNC at the mall and...
Nicole, right? That was
Yeah.
Oh, gotta love her.
Yeah, didn't her heart explode or
something? I think so.
Yeah, she died, like, in her early 40s.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was 8 when hydroxy-cut came out, so I wasn't on that.
Like,
but,
that stuff's not good for you.
No, but... I used to be like very against all the semaglutide stuff, but I think that if you're obese, like there's nothing worse for your health than being like very overweight.
Right.
Yeah, get the weight off, even if you're taking a shortcut, even if you die in 20 years, at least it bought you probably 15 years, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's a fair point.
So you're saying get the weight off first and then do the hard work.
Yeah, especially if you're like, and I'm not talking about the people who are trying to lose like 15, 20 pounds. I mean, if you need to lose more
half
than like, like 100 plus pounds, like you got to get the weight off because that's going to kill you. You're probably going to die of a heart attack sometime soon. So.
Like our girl from the cut sheet earlier today, unafraid, unabashed, queer, and whatever.
Honestly, she will be lucky if she lasts 8 to 9 more years.
Right.
Yeah, so not happening.
Yeah, Trump's not going to kill her. Her obesity will.
Oh, totally. And lastly, Michelle Obama, remember her? Humiliated amid dismal ratings for the podcast she launched with great fanfare. So all the people that were really excited about it are not even listening to it, which is crazy. Big Mike's new podcast with her brother, Craig Robinson, has failed to meet expectations after it launched with great fanfare in early March. The new media venture titled IMO, which stands for In My Opinion, with Michelle Obama and Craig Robinson, follows the sibling duo as they give advice, discuss current events, and interview a variety of special guests. So there you go.
How many episodes did they get before it was deemed a failure? 3 episodes? It's a weekly podcast, correct?
Oh, it is?
I think it's a week.
I don't even know much
even
about
Rachel
it.
Zegler is like, that's so low energy. You could have done so much more. I mean, we played some of that on the cut sheet, and it was, I mean, there was no energy. There was no direction. It was just rambling. It was her brother. I know we had the clips before. There's one podcast out there. I think, Stalker, what's the one with the Obama Tech Boys, the Obama Tech Bros?
Pod Save America.
Pod Save America is pretty darn successful.
Yeah, it's really successful.
Yes. But most of these left-of-center podcasts, they don't land.
What big guests did they have on so far?
Oh, they had Seth Rogen on.
Oh, yeah?
That's the only one I can think of.
No, that's Pod Save America?
No, that was Michelle Obama.
Oh, she had Seth Rogen on and still failed.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, she picked the wrong Rogan.
Can you imagine having... First of all, Seth Rogen is a horrible interview. Because he just talks like this and laughs at everything he says.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So Kale & Company News Live. That's all we got.
All right, there we go. Anna Hummel with the news. We'll come back. Oh, by the way, we have the... we want to do the trailer here?
Yeah. So this is... get on over to YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD for those tuning in at 10:12 for a morning show that just keeps on going and going. We're like the Energizer Bunny.
I'm going to crash soon.
Calm down. Stensland can do 6 hours. You're like, oh, man. Just try to get to 10:30.
I'm not physically conditioned for this.
You have three other people here with
you. It's like the bike ride. I got to build it up slow and steady.
You're like a pitcher that isn't stretched out yet.
Right.
You can't take
that's
more innings. Right.
Well, I'm on a six-inning innings count.
Right.
Pitch count here.
So they're remaking The Naked Gun with, what's his name?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Not Leslie Nielsen.
So I like where they're going with this, because Liam Neeson, for those of you who don't know, in the 70s and 80s, was a serious actor. You know what I mean? And then Airplane came out, and he kind of spoofed the airline movies that he made, you know, back in the 70s. So having him as a serious actor doing these comedic roles was actually a stretch and worked well for him. So I think that's the plot, that's the thought behind Liam Neeson as well, because he's a serious actor, having him do this. I don't know if this movie needs to be remade, but we'll try it here.
Multiple SWAT units responding to hostage situations.
Hey, little girl, stop. What do you want, little one?
Oh.
Your ass.
Whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast.
Whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the police.
Whoop, whoop. I mean, it's funny.
That's the sound of the beast.
Who are you?
Frank Drebin, police squad. The new version.
Whoop, whoop.
That's the sound of the police.
Hi, Daddy. It's me, Frank Jr. Love you.
Hey, Dad. Boy, do I miss you.
Nordberg.
that's a funny scene.
Yeah.
But kind of carry an entire movie? I don't know.
I like the fact that they're trying to not only redo it, but do it in a different fashion. It's not something that's got me, you know, anxious to go to the theater and pay $16 for a ticket.
Is that what it costs now?
It's absurd, something like that.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I would, if it's on Netflix or on a streaming thing afterwards, and I already have the service, I'll check it out.
Right.
Right. But I'm not, like, this isn't like me and the wife and
just,
I.
Why don't you go on a date? Take her to a movie.
No.
Can we just all agree that there's no more ideas for movies anymore?
It's all been done before.
Like three and four times.
Yes. Harry said this about sports radio a decade ago. It's all been done before.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to do.
There's no more new area
to creative juices in Hollywood has gone to crap.
Yeah.
Like, I think I think that's why, like, guys like Sandler, they're doing things with Apple movies or Netflix only.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of these ideas, I mean, what else is out there that hasn't been done at least one time, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't get it, but... I'm not interested in seeing it and paying for it, but I would watch it if I was, you know, killing time like I was last night and I stumbled across a TV channel on YouTube TV called TBD. To be determined.
Okay.
That's the name of the channel?
That's the name of the network.
They had no commercials. They ran promos when they went to a commercial.
Okay.
And all they were advertising was Whose Line Is It Anyway? And old episodes of Saturday Night Live. That was the crux. And this is Sunday night at 6:00. I was ready to blow my head off. That's what I had to resort to. There was nothing on television. It's all been done before. No wonder why TV's dead.
Yeah, well, and do we need another? Like, The Naked Gun is a spoof on the police movies from the 70s.
Right.
So we're spoofing a spoof?
It's a serious spoof to a comedy spoof from 50 years ago.
Spoof Inception.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a spoof smorgasbord. and I'm all spoofed out. And I'm fobbed off, as Piers Morgan would say. All right, we'll come back. Dom Giordano is going to get Dom Time started a little early, and we'll see what he has lined up in just a few minutes. Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Dom was talking to us because last week when Dom was in here, we had Joe Conklin, and I heard Saturday night was a big-time performance.
Yeah, the Keswick, hard to fill up, and I'm amazed how a guy for an hour and a half could do so many impressions, so many songs, hit it on the mark. And I don't know when you and Dawn did it. Did he bring on the Sinatra guy that he has?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yes.
And how about the guy that did the Saquon song?
Oh, that's tremendous, yes.
Oh, my God. It was a spectacle. When I saw that guy come on stage, Nick, it was like, where has this guy been all this time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it, just every vibe with Bernie Parent there, et cetera.
Oh, Bernie was there.
Oh, Bernie was there. 80th birthday of Bernie Parent.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, Bernie Parent, 80 years old.
Yeah, amazing. Exactly. Yeah,
love that.
Yeah, still can't translate too easily, but you know, it's still there.
Well, and Harry, you had said you've been to the Keswick, so that's...
Several times, yeah.
It's what, 2,000 seats, 2,500?
2,000 to 2,500,
it's cavernous. It just looks it coming in. Yeah, the whole place turned out. And, of course, ties it to a charity. What happened in Glenside, the big fire, had a lot of the volunteer firefighters there, tied it to that. Just wonderful stuff.
And you're going to tie that to the side question of the day, I believe?
Yeah, all-time showman, all-time entertainer. Who do you have?
Okay, well, who's off the list?
Elvis.
Elvis is off the list.
You got to take
Elvis
him off the list.
The building.
Hat Boone is off the list. You can't use that.
By
the
way,
the other day he was on.
By the way, go back and listen on the either on the podcast or get the YouTube. Dom's interview with Pat Boone on Friday was amazing.
Okay.
Great job, by the way.
I cannot believe the guy, 90 years old, didn't sound anything like, and he was proud that he beat Elvis 41-40 in the 50s charted records.
Yep.
Wow.
Talked about living next to Ozzy. And
Ozzy
amazing.
Is a buddy.
Yeah.
Pat Boone and
really?
Ozzy. Is this a great
stuff.
Country?
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So all-time performer is the question?
Showman.
All-time showman.
It could be in sports. It could be anything. You know what?
I'll go back to my old wheelhouse. I'll go Muhammad Ali.
That's terrific.
I was taking him off, but you got it first here, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
How about David Lee Roth?
David Lee Roth. Amazing.
Oh, there's Greg's.
Ali.
Exactly.
Who would I?
Can you go Hollywood as well?
Sure.
Anything
go Hollywood. Yeah. How about Nick Castellanos? By the way, hit a home run yesterday.
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, of course.
Yeah.
Nick hit a home run again yesterday, historic day, Ovechkin. This is the fifth or sixth time that he's done it. Trump assassinated, he hits a home run.
Wow.
Biden quits, he hits a home run that
really?
Day.
Really?
Daily Mail has a list of his home runs and historic events.
Wow, how about that?
Wow,
that
really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
These are the kinds of things that you have to tune into the Dom Giordano program right here. That's an amazing factoid.
Yes, indeed. All right. And that is coming up next. Dom, have a great show.
Thanks, Nick. So eager to get out there.
Yeah,
I've never
you
seen
told me
human
that car
you
running out there.
I've never seen a human being.
Is that chauffeur waiting? Where are the keys?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
It's like he's got some berries he's going to be hitting on the way or something.
I have to pack up. I have to do this. My Lord. Calm down.
I thought I was bad.
Guy tells me. 10:28. I tried to get you out.
I actually said 10:27.
Now all of a sudden you're worried about hitting the break.
Yeah, you're exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. His last break, he will never not hit on time.
I am trying to provide.
I got on the tombstone.
I got a hard out.
I'm trying to help everybody else's quarter hours. Yeah. Damn it! I'm a team guy. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your Monday. Dom is next. Harry, good job.
Yeah.
I'll take you home.
Yeah.
Anna, I'll see you tomorrow.
Woo-hoo! Yes, sir.
And that's it. As John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week.
In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.